1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at another portrait tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 16. So we're going to look at Samuel tonight as a portrait of limitations. A portrait of limitations. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to read verse 1 down through verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And Jesse called Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we can spend time in your word. And right as we begin, we ask for your help. We ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us through your word. May you be glorified tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. A portrait of limitations. So in 1 Samuel 16, God sends Samuel out to accomplish a task. And we looked, I think, last time about Saul and Saul's disobedience. And God had looked at Saul and said, all right, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you, and I'm going to appoint someone else not in your line to be the next king of Israel. And we know that's going to be King David. But Samuel is sent with this task that he is going to choose who is going to be the next king of Israel, and he's going to anoint him. So they would do this ritual of pouring oil on their head, signifying God's anointing being upon that person for this ministry. And so Samuel is given this task by God. You go and you anoint the next king of Israel. That's a big responsibility for Samuel, to go and to anoint the next king of Israel. Right? There's a big responsibility placed on Samuel. And you look at that and go, that's a big task that I think Samuel probably wants to get right. You know, he doesn't want to be the one where Israel, you know, if things go bad with his next king, that they come back to Samuel and go, hey, you, you were the one who picked this king, right? So I'm sure Samuel's like, I want to make sure that we pick the right king here. So he's granted this or given this task that he has to accomplish. So for us tonight, as we apply this to us, we know that we have been given tasks by God, right? There's things that God wants us to accomplish. He's looked at all of us and said, okay, I want you to serve me. There's things that I want you to do for me. And so all of us feel that responsibility, or we should, right? That we are servants of God doing what God has called us to do. And Colossians 3 and verse 23 says, really, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In essence, every single thing we do is done in service to God. We are doing what God wants us to do in every little thing that we do in life. And that needs to be our approach to things. That whatever it is that we're doing, the Bible says our mindset should be, I want to do this for the Lord. I want to serve the Lord through this. And so as we look at what we are doing and all the tasks that we're accomplishing, I think there's two ways we can approach the work that God has for us. One, we can say, I want to do a good job. Or number two, we can say, I want to do it right. So let me explain kind of what I mean by that. Do a good job, I mean, do it with the purpose of pleasing people, that when people look at it, they say, well, they did a good job, right? He did fine, or she did a great job with this. But doing it from the mindset of, I want people to view it as that person did a good job with everything that they did. Because people are going to see a lot of the things that we do. And people have an opinion on the things that we do. And people will tell us their opinion of the things that we do. And we all feel that pressure of, people are going to see what I've done, and I don't want them to look at me and go, well, you're not good at what you do, or you didn't do a great job. And we want to have people pat us on the back. And it's hard to get away from that, right? Because people talk and all of that. So to do a good job, I mean, it takes hard work. It takes diligence. It takes planning and thoughtfulness to do a good job. So that's one approach. But the other approach is, I want to do it right, which is, I want to please God in everything that I do. That our focus is not manward, but Godward. He's saying, I want God to be pleased in how I do whatever it is that I'm doing. And this takes more than just hard work and diligence and planning and all of those other things. Because what God requires isn't always what we expect, or what God asks us to do isn't always what we expect. So what we see in 1 Samuel chapter 16 is that Samuel is there, and Samuel needs to do this task. He needs to do it right. He doesn't need just to pick a king that everybody in Israel looks at and goes, hey, you did a good job picking a king, right? You picked one that, man, that guy looks like he's going to be a great king of Israel. That was not Samuel's responsibility. Samuel needed to do this job in a way where God says, yeah, that's the one, right? Where he does it in a way that God is pleased in the one that he chooses. But for Samuel, what he finds out is that doing the job right, where God is pleased, isn't as straightforward as he probably thought when he went into this task, when he went to see Jesse. So there's two thoughts I want us to see tonight, and then we'll make an application for us. Here's the first thought. Number one, we need to recognize our own limitations, right? That's why Samuel, he's a portrait of limitations, because we need to recognize our limitations. So we come down to verse 6, right? After he gets there and he tells the people that he's there peacefully. In verse 6, it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So he sees this first candidate and he goes, this has got to be the guy. It was back in 1960, you're probably familiar with this, the debate between Kennedy and Nixon, right? It was the first nationally televised presidential debate. And in that debate that was on television, where everybody for the first time could see these two candidates and compare like how they looked side by side, Nixon, he had just come off an injury and he kind of looked like it. He also, and I didn't know this before I looked this up, they offered to like put makeup on him, you know, like they do anytime you go on TV. And he was like, no, I don't wear makeup. Kennedy was like, yeah, I'll wear makeup, right? And so he was willing to put on that sort of stage makeup, and he just looked younger and healthier. And they say that the visual difference between the two impacted that debate and who they thought won, and it impacted the election. And I think it's hard not to be impacted by what you see. And there's Samuel, right? And he sees this one young man come before him. And he looks at him and he goes, surely the Lord's anointed is before him, right? He's like, surely this is the guy, right? And I don't know what he saw in Eliab and, you know, his height and countenance and all of these things, but this is what he was looking at. And I think if from reading verse 6, I think Samuel might have chosen him. If it was up to Samuel, I think Samuel would have been, hey, first one, we found the king on the very first person we looked at, and he would have anointed that one. But if he had, he would have gotten it wrong. And it shows us the limitations that are there in who we are. And we need to recognize the limitations that we have. We have a lot of limitations. The one that's highlighted here is a limitation in our understanding and in our perception. Do you remember the game Minesweeper on the computer, right? It came, I think, with all Microsoft computers. You guys remember playing that? Raise your hand if you know Minesweeper. I gotta see if I need to explain the game. Okay, I'll explain it. So, what you have on the computer is a grid of gray squares. Underneath some of those squares are the mines, and you don't want to click on those. So under some of them though, you'll have a number. So you click on one, and if a number appears, let's say it's the number 3, that number tells you how many bombs are around that square. So it's kind of like it's a math game, and you can figure out where the bombs are based on the numbers that you see, right, in front of you. But as if you play this game, you get to a point where you figured everything out, but you get to a point where you can't figure anything else out and you're left guessing. You just have to pick. You say, I hope the bomb's not in this one. You click on that square. And that's how life is, right? There's a lot of things that we can figure out and that we know. But then there comes a time where we reach the edge of what we know, and we move from that to guessing or assuming or theorizing because we reach the limitations of what we know. And I think sometimes we don't recognize when we cross that line, because we'll start to assume things and we go, I know that. I'm very confident, right, in what I can assume and what I can guess. And sometimes we blur the line between what we think we know when we're actually kind of guessing and just assuming things. There's a lot that we just do not know, right? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we don't know our heart. It's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? We also don't know the hearts of other people. Sometimes we think we do based on what we see and even what people say, but we don't know their heart. We also don't know the future, right? We don't know what's going to take place. So our heart, other people's hearts, the future, that covers a lot of ground. We look and they go, there's quite a bit that we actually don't know, right? There's a lot of things that we're just limited in what we can understand, what we can perceive, what we can know. You know what it leaves us with? Kind of where it left Samuel, right? Where we're left with what we can visibly see, and I guess audibly hear, but that's kind of what we're left with, right? We have our senses that we perceive the world with, but those are very limited. And so, if Samuel had just made his decision based on what he saw, he would have made the wrong choice. And decisions that are based just on what we know and based on what we see are very dangerous decisions for us to make. For us to go and make choices based just on what we have gathered and gained for ourselves, we're taking a real risk in those decisions, because we may find ourselves like Samuel going, how can this not be the right decision? I mean, just look at what I can see and what I know. But we need to recognize the limitations that we have, that we don't know everything. And we can cross that line into guessing and assuming, and we get ourselves in trouble when we start to make decisions based on the information that we have, because it is limited. So the first thought is that we need to recognize our limitations. But there's a second thought, and that is, we then have to realize God's lack of limitations, that there are no limitations with God. And this is where what the Lord points out in verse 7, because the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. There are no limitations to what God knows. And in Psalm 147 and verse 5, it says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. God knows everything we know and everything we don't know, right? So everything. God knows every single thing. So we talked about a couple categories, right? God knows our heart. He knows the thoughts of our heart. He sees that. And then it's not just us. He knows everybody's heart, right? Everybody in the world, God knows everything about them. God also knows the future, right? God knows exactly what is going to happen. He knows every single step of the way. God knows every single thing. And it's important that we recognize this, right? Because when we take these two thoughts, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on what God knows because I think we all understand that, right? That God knows everything. But when we take these two thoughts, the fact that we understand our limitations and we understand that God has no limitations in what he knows, we put those two together and then we find ourselves where Samuel finds himself in verse 7, which is, I need to follow God's leading, right? And this is, so here's Samuel, right? He's there looking at these candidates. He's got Eliab and the other sons of Jesse that are there. He's looking on their outward appearance, the height of their stature. He's looking at their countenance, their clothing, everything. And in his mind, he's made a decision. And he thinks Eliab should be the one. That's just what naturally comes to him. But he's not the right person for the job. And if Samuel is going to do this job right, not just in a way where he'd pick a king that Israel would look at and go, hey, that looks like a great king. But if he wants to really do it right, he's going to have to follow what God told him to do. So if you go back to verse 3, these are the instructions God gave him. The Lord said, I want you to call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. The Lord didn't tell Samuel, you go pick the one you think looks good, or the one that's got the muscles, or you know, the one that's, I don't know, got armor, I don't know, whatever, right? Or looks kingly. He says, no, you pick the one that I pick, the one that I am going to name unto you. And the application for us is, if we want to do the job right, we have to follow God's leading. And that's all there is for us, right? Because the other option is we follow someone else's leading, whether it's ours or someone else who's limited, who's making choices without all the information, without all the facts, without knowing everything. But the beauty of the Christian life is that we have a guide that knows everything, that knows our heart, that knows the hearts of the people we're dealing with, that knows the future, that knows everything, and he is the one that guides us. He's the one that leads us and directs us. So that's why 2 Corinthians 5:7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if we walk by sight, we're making choices with very little information. But if we walk by faith, we're making decisions based on one who has all that information. We need to understand this. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Turn there with me. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Here's what we're told. If any of you lack wisdom, which we do. So since we all lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith. This is where we are every single day in our life, where we look at ourselves and go, I could make a decision, and I could do a good job, where everybody would look at it and go, yeah, seems like you made the right choice. But that's not what we want. We want to do it right. We want God to say that was the right choice. And I'm thankful that God tells us what the right choices are, that God guides us. And there are ways that God leads us. We know God leads us through the Word of God. That's why we challenge ourselves all the time to spend time in the Word of God, because it's through reading Scripture that God works in our hearts and in our minds and directs us. And it's amazing how spending time in the Word of God and directing our thoughts toward God directs us and guides our thoughts into ways where God wants us to be thinking so that we make right decisions because we've been guided in our mind and our heart by His Word. He guides us through His Word. He guides us by the Holy Spirit of God and the peace of God, where God gives us an assurance in our heart that this is what He wants us to do. All of the ways that God leads us, they always work together. They never contradict themselves. God's Spirit is never going to direct you in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. But as God works in us, He guides us. But you know what is not on the list of the ways God leads us? Our own understanding, our own logic. That's what Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6 says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It says you cross off your list, trust your own understanding. And instead you trust God and you follow his leading. We need to make sure that we're following his leading. Samuel, he's a portrait of limitations, where he went out to do a task that God asked him to do. And in himself, in who Samuel was, even as a man of God, he did not have in himself what he needed to make the right choice. He got there, and just by what he saw and the knowledge that he had, the limited knowledge, he would have made the wrong choice. And probably, with all the sons that were paraded before him, he probably would have made the wrong choice again and again and again. Because you know what we find when we get to the end, or a little further in the story in 1 Samuel chapter 16? We won't read it, but David wasn't even there. He had to go through the rest of the sons, and then when God said no to all of them, he looked at Jesse and goes, "You got any more? Like, are there any more?" Because God said no to all of these. David wasn't even there. Samuel didn't know that, but God did. And so God said, now we bring David out. And the Lord says, this is the one. This is the one that I have. Samuel didn't know that. Samuel would have looked at the other sons and said, well, I guess we'll pick one of these, right? Because that's who are there before me. But it was because he followed God's leading, that he let God make the decision, that Samuel anointed the right king of Israel. That's what we want. We want to do what is right, not just a good job where other people think it's okay or we think it's good. We want to do what's right. We want to make the right choices, choices that please God. And those choices are going to happen not when we do it on our own, not when we, in our limited knowledge, trust ourselves and our own understanding and our ability to figure things out and reason things out and then make a decision. We're not going to make the right choice that way. We're on dangerous ground if that's what we're trusting. But it's as we recognize our own limitations and then we realize that there's someone that guides us, that knows everything. And when we follow his leading, we will make the right choice and God will be pleased with us. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for how you lead us, for your direction in our lives, that you did not leave us on our own to fumble our way through life. Lord, help us to recognize that we are so limited and that what we know compared to what you know is absolutely nothing. Lord, we're thankful that you lead us and that you guide us. Help us to follow you. Help us to do things in a way that pleases you. Lord, and help us not to just limit that to the big decisions, but even the small decisions in life. May we just live according to your word, according to your guidance. And we'll thank you for how you work in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.